Hello, everyone, and welcome to the very V-A-R-Y Necessary Podcast. What's going on? How y'all doing? Y'all don't sound excited.
We're here. Yeah. We're excited.
Why are you excited?
I'm alive.
Well, that's basically it.
Amen to that.
God is good.
Yes. Yes.
He let us see another day.
Yes.
Yep.
You're supposed to get excited about... So August the 12th was the end of the Lion's Gate gate portal, right? Mm-hmm. It's from 7/28 to August the 12th. And you're supposed to put 8 manifestations into a envelope and put them away for a year until the next Lion's Gate portal. Right. But on top of doing these affirmations for your life and things you want for yourself, and, you know, you can even affirm for other people, you're supposed to give 8, gratitudes to, you know, the universe and God, and tell them everything that you are grateful for. Because how you gonna ask for more if you're not grateful for what you have? Right.
Right.
And so my niece was with me. She's 10. And we actually did the exercise together.
Oh, wow.
And it was so interesting to see what 10-year-olds are grateful for. Because I promise you it ain't what. She was like, I'm so grateful for food and for candy. I was like, hey, ma'am, that's not. So I'm thinking to myself, you should be wanting something else, right? But you ain't got no bills. You don't work nowhere. Like, you ain't going to have the same kind of gratitude that I'm going to have, right?
Right, right.
So I was just kind of like, hey, let's think this through. So then she started getting a little more in depth with it. And she was like, well, you know, I want to do better with hair care. And I'm starting middle school, so I want to get better with time management. So I won't be rushing and getting yelled at in the morning for not getting to school on time. So, you know, that kind of stuff. Right. But I could see how that would work, because I need to do better with time management. I need to do better with organization. I need to do better with my own personal hair care. So it was just interesting to kind of ping pong, you know, our gratitudes and our manifestations off of each other. But we did the exercise, and she put all of her little manifestations up in her envelope. And I said, now, this time next summer, I'll come get you. And then we'll, you know, we'll reveal the manifestations when we do Lionsgate portal again. She's like, this was such a fun activity.
It is. I kind of like that. I missed it.
Yeah, my mom was just like, this is so nice. And she just sat there, and she was so present and just aware. And I think she liked the fact that I made her think and I made her dig deep within herself to kind of come up with, is this something I should really be thankful for, or should I, you know, think beyond, you know, surface level stuff? So, yeah, it was fun. And it just kind of brings you back to, you know, that childlike thought of what's really important here.
I think what I like about that was meaningful bonding.
Yes.
You know, we can be in the same room together, watch TV, play a video game. And that's bonding. But that bonding that you did with your niece, that is something that's going to linger and last forever. That's something that she grow older, she's going to remember this. And it's something that she will eventually pass down, because it was an experience that was positive for her. So I like that.
I think we should do, because that's how you really get to know kids. Because now it's so much social media and phones and tablets, and they just kind of, I don't know. It's like, I don't want to talk about them. It's like they not even like little human people no more. They like little robots. Like, think about it. The average kid nowadays, they don't even give you eye contact when they conversate with you. Like, I'm talking to this little boy one day, and he's like, yes, ma'am. no, can you look at me? And so it was like hard for him to focus. I made him nervous, him just looking at me in my eyes and having a conversation. I was like, why do you appear so unnerved? He was like, I just feel like anytime, you know, I'm looking at somebody and they looking at me, I'm under fire. I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
How you don't want to have eye contact with people and speak to them? Mm-hmm. But I noticed this pattern with kids.
Mm-hmm.
I just think we got to do better as a community pulling that, you know, depth out of them. What do you really like?
Well, this
don't tell me what you want to be. Don't tell me what I want you to be. I want to know what you like. I want to know what you want to be.
I know where I'm at now, they have implemented an intervention period, 25 minutes a day, and they are working on social skills for the students because they have identified that as a need and a problem, that the interaction that you're speaking of, the time to bond without technology is there. Mm-hmm. So they do a lot of think sheets. They do a lot of mindful practice, practices where they talk about what they're grateful for, what their goals are, you know. And I thought that was the smartest thing to do for school age. Well, and it should be implemented in middle school, high school as well. And I think some school districts do it. But to see that, and you're right, I think that if it's introduced to them, they will fully engage in it. Mm-hmm. And it just has to be consistent. And you are right. Sometimes the contact, the, you know, eye-to-eye contact and how they communicate has a lot to do with how much we are involved. And I like that you said community, because it takes all of us.
Yeah.
Not just the schools, not just the parents. It's just going to take all of us so we can, you know, get these kids on the right track.
I know. I remember when I was younger, if we didn't look our parents in the eye, we lying.
Right.
You know,
right.
What are you hiding? What you're not telling the truth about?
Mm-hmm.
It was a must when you getting fussed at, or if they're asking you a question, you got to come out of your room, into their room, look them in their face, and answer them.
Right.
If there was no, what? Huh? What you said?
Ma'am.
It was none of that.
Yeah.
She may yell your name from another room, but you can't yell back, what? What you?
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
No.
Mm-mm.
That was forbidden. So the eye contact, and that's what we're used to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're used to that. We're just not used to this new way of social skills.
So let me tell you what she made me privy to. So I know we're Gen X, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so behind us is the millennials.
Millennials, then Gen Z.
And Gen Zers, right?
Yeah.
And so she says, well, auntie, I'm a Gen A-er.
I didn't even know.
Okay, because yeah. I know at the Gen Z, they didn't know how to identify.
Exactly.
So now they got an identity for them?
Yes. Mm. So these are the children born, I think it's from 2011 up to now. And I didn't, shit, she done, you know, showed me some stuff.
Oh.
Done learned me something.
Generation Alpha.
And this is why I say, I can't take anything from children, because I learn so much from them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and you know, she's telling me, and this is how you communicate with Gen Alpha children, and da 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 da.
Oh.
And like, she's sitting there talking to me, and I'm taking it all in, because I do need to know how to communicate with them.
Well, first off, congratulations to her to even know where she fits in society. So 10 years old, and she's telling you that she's a Gen Alpha.
Mm-hmm.
Never heard of that.
Well,
grandkids are Gen Alphas.
Yeah.
So you need to
know. And the fact
that
she's telling you at 10 how to communicate with me.
Mm-hmm. So.
Wow. Okay.
But here's the thing.
You got grown people that can't even tell you how to communicate.
Exactly. Which is why we're going to go into our show today, because I feel like technology and social media have really skewed communication and interaction with people so bad that it's not even just the kids anymore who don't know how to give truth and eye contact and good communication. It's damn adults who know better and still come on.
Yeah.
Gen Xers, who, what happened to you? Because, yeah, you from my era and you still don't know how to communicate.
And that really puzzles me because I'm like, we grew up the same type of household.
But they weird.
We had those parents that, or the neighborhood looked out for each other. Like, we grew up, we may have not grew up in the same subdivision, like the exact same area, but I'm telling you, we all came together with stories. We have shared experiences somewhere down the line.
Yeah, we all watched the Cosby Show. We all, you know, it's just like a understanding of our generation that everybody should have grasped or known, but it, I don't know.
But we also came from the generation of not my child. You're not going to do that to my child. We don't did. Discipline my child. Mm-hmm. You know, that's, I think we came, probably part of it was the end of that into the beginning, but not my child. We was in there. I think we came and everybody could discipline your child and da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. Then towards the end, it was, no, you can't say anything to my child.
And now they're sheltered.
And now, yeah.
Because, you know, I remember being in elementary school, and you're right. I remember teachers being able to punish.
Right.
But then I also remember a neighbor down the street, you're not going to touch my child.
Right.
When the neighbors were able to touch your child.
Touch your child. Everybody gave your child a whooping before you got home.
Or at least
you whipped them.
You couldn't tell the story first because it was already told.
Somebody else already called. Yep.
By the time you get there, they trying to see if you're lying. And you can still get beaten anyway. But
just playing devil's advocate, was that the right thing? Because I feel like this. So my community is my community, right? We have neighbor A, B, C, D. Maybe A through C, they pretty much parent and do corrective action like me. But maybe D is a damn child abuser.
Right.
And I might not want neighbor D chastising or putting their hands on my child because maybe that shit is extreme. So... yeah.
Now, as well, I believe neighbors A through C wouldn't allow neighbor D.
Right, because they were
because they already knew neighbor D was with some stuff. Mm-hmm. And they'll probably jump on neighbor D for touching neighbor E's child. So I really believe that protection. It was a lot of protection, and they would not allow just anyone.
So I'm gonna come back on you again. There was a young lady who did a little video on Instagram, and she was just going through this hat of conversations. So she pulled one out, and it says, "What conversation are people not ready for?" And she said, "Why we keep letting these uncles and granddaddies and men in the family, at the family gatherings, walk around and pretend like they weren't fucking them kids." So, and I've said this before, you're going to sit around here and we're going to talk about how this celebrity whooped ass and did this and sex trafficked and da 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 da. But y'all got Uncle Tony and, so-and-so daddy, who y'all know are known child molesters throughout the family, and they still sitting around here, and y'all know about this shit. It's been said, even if it wasn't out loud, it's been said behind closed doors, and these niggas is still able to attend the gatherings, and y'all know what's going on.
Right.
It's happened in my family, and I'm still sitting here asking these people, so y'all know what he did to her, and y'all still letting this nigga come around. So when he walks in, I leave. Because yeah, if y'all gonna condone this shit, mm-hmm. I'm not.
And they know it's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Whether they know for a fact, the fact that the conversation has been brought up and people know about it, and when he walk in, hey, so and so and so, oh hell no. Nah.
And it's like nothing has ever happened.
I'm out. Yeah. I'm out. Cause mm-hmm. and they know why. And I'm vocal. Y'all know what this nigga did, and y'all just still allow him to come around? This some bullshit.
Very much so. I'm over here with my face scrunched up like, what? Because
and you know he hasn't gotten any kind of therapy or anything like that or asked for forgiveness.
No, because it's still, well, that's just what she said. We don't know. Fuck that.
And then they wonder why some people don't come forward until they're older. Or
now, was the victim in the room as well? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what was her response to him walking through?
You can tell how unsettled she is when he comes. And I can't.
And she would be wrong for leaving out the room.
But
she
don't leave.
I'm just saying if she did.
I can't watch it. I can't watch it.
What I'm saying is she would be, they would say it. Why are you leaving out? Like, right. The blame will be put on her, whether it was confirmed or not. The fact that
they don't even see the expression on her face because they so focused on me. Because I'm like, so what is this? We still allowing this? You going out of here with all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I couldn't sit around and partake.
I'm out. Because I'm not going to be quiet about anything anymore. Because, see, y'all let this shit happen to me and nobody said nothing. And so y'all think that I'm just going to be quiet about this? No, I'm not. Because who else he doing it to? Who else has he done it to? You ain't trying to find that out. No, I'm not going to be quiet.
The swept under the rug mentality that we have, especially I can't speak of any other race, but in our community, it's so many skeletons under the rug.
It is.
And is the sad part about it is no one wants to talk about it.
Nope.
No one wants to address it because they know it's true. Mm-hmm. And they feel like you are embarrassing the family when it comes out. And that's you're hurting the person that has been infected.
It's not just the molestation. It's the, well, you know, he used to beat them kids, and I ain't always agree with how he used to beat them kids, but now that he always beating up on the wife so bad, or now that he on the drugs so bad,
excuses.
I had a friend tell me this weekend, they went to their aunt's funeral and found out that their cousin impregnated his sister. And nobody has ever told the child, the 30-something-year-old child that's here, the uncle is his daddy. Mm. Nobody, they just swept this shit under the rug and said, well, we don't know who your daddy is. Y'all know who the fuck his daddy is.
That's so unfair.
He don't, but y'all do. Come on.
I have that in my family. Yeah, I have a. She's a cousin, but it's on her mom's side. I'm kin to her on her dad's side, but on her mom's side of the family, the uncle is the daddy,
and
the granddaddy is the daddy.
Yep.
The granddaddy has molested his own children and his grandchildren. And they're trying to say that one of my cousin's children is the granddaddy's, is the daddy. But, of course, that's the granddaddy. And it all came out at the funeral. At the mama funeral.
We need to get this deep on
y'all. But it's just about
it must be said,
being around in these settings, and you see all the anger.
Yeah.
You see siblings going at it with each other. because the rumor has been out there. Now, I'll say rumor because no one seems to want to confirm anything because they want to sweep everything on the rug or act like it never happened. But in every rumor, there's a little bit of truth. Whether that is his seed, but guess what? You had to do something to
produce
a seed. You understand?
I guess so, my problem is, why do people have such a problem with the reaction versus understanding why the reaction was provoked?
Right.
So y'all so focused on why she acting like this. Why is she acting like this?
Because it's been going on for so long that it's like a norm. It's expected, probably.
Like,
because nobody wants to face a reality. That's first.
And no one wants to be the one that all the attention is on them because they already know how the family is. If you have a very close-knit family and, let's just say they think you're lying anyway because you're always saying something. You always talking.
Ain't no truth to
it. So whatever you say is getting dismissed anyway. And now here you come with this story.
But she's just looking for attention. I feel like that's the issue because why are we always dismissing? Well, you know, he's always just been a real quiet person. Or he's always been very introverted. Or we don't wanna bring that up because you know they'll get mad. So we don't talk about it. Like, why are we so okay with dismissing and putting little quiet signs on shit that, you know what I'm saying? I know why I'm introverted. So, I mean, I don't need to publicly announce it, but I know what has happened or my way of being that has caused me to be introverted. I'm not saying it's just completely my trauma. I don't trust people. But why she don't trust people? Why doesn't she trust people?
Especially like
this goes back.
This right here is a sign that people ignore. The child used to be outgoing. And I'm talking about child, like elementary age, you know, five, six, 7 years old. And then let's even go younger, 4, 5, 6. And then all of a sudden the child don't want to do hugs anymore or close off in the room. Like, what happened? Because the transition was drastic. It didn't happen overnight.
Because they missed the signs.
And
you do. You miss
because they're and so, then they so you focused wanna know, on their life. They can't even
she's
see what's
coming
going on.
Into her own identity. She's and that's excuses that they instead of talking to the child, understanding what's going on, because every child doesn't know how to speak.
Well, you're a therapist, Sue. So, like, what are some of the things parents say to you when they discover, like, a change in pattern with their kids?
Some of the parents are blinded or they don't want to admit that they see that change because it's happened to them.
But wouldn't you want to protect? You would be more aware,
but then sometimes the guilt is on them because they feel like I didn't do enough to protect them and it still happened to them. Or they have their own traumas from their teenage life or adulthood that they're dealing with and they feel like it has moved down to them, or either they don't want to be so overprotective because of their traumas. They want, you know, to allow their child to, you know, live and be the person that, you know, they are meant to be in life. So I hear a lot. And as soon as we have, this is the thing with family therapy sometimes. Of course, they'll say, well, no, we don't need family therapy. My child only needs therapy. No, you need family therapy.
He live in the house with y'all.
Right. And so what I do is talk to them together. And then I'll talk to the client, individually. And then I'll let the client know that I'm going to talk to your parents or parent individually. But I promise you, when that parent comes into there and if they're comfortable with you, it all comes out and it's more of they've had the same type of past. I know that my uncle is my father, but nobody wants to talk about
him molesting, you know, him molesting me, or my brother's molesting me, or my cousin's molesting me. Nobody wants to talk about that. And so they feel like if I bury it inside, it's going to go away. And it comes out in different ways.
And the sad part about how some of this come out, mm-hmm. is when there's an angry family member
that will tell
it. That's going to tell the story.
And that ain't when it's supposed to come out.
And then, of course, they want to protect their family name, mm-hmm. because, you know, even when you're from big towns, you know, okay, here's mm-hmm. the Johnsons. And so the Johnson family, we got an image to uphold, and nobody's going to want to know that Mike is the one that's molesting all the girls and the young men. So I think now we are more aware of why our children are sometimes silent, or they go, you know, they're off to themselves, and then we try to introduce them to therapy, or please talk to me, you know, what am I doing wrong? I think we need community, but we also got to deal with what's going on with us as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen a lot, but it's always the parents sometimes have to deal with their trauma themselves, or they're so engulfed in their lives that they feel like a child is a certain age that, okay, well, I've done what I can do at this point. The child, you know, is pretty much on their own, and then they just live their best life until that child is explosive and says something, and then they're like, okay, well, what did I do? I gave my child everything. I provided them education card, da 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 da.
And to be honest, the child wants you to talk to them.
Right.
They really do.
Yeah.
They want you, you know, maybe they don't know how to come to you, and they're crying out for that help. They're crying out for the attention in, you know, in different ways. And all they want to say, just ask me if I'm okay.
Right.
I promise you, some kids, if you just ask that one right question,
mm-hmm.
you may get more than what you ask for.
But how many parents really ask their kids, are you okay?
Well, and you're right. And so I love that some families are now, like, taking away, like, all technology, TV is off, everything, like how dinners used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Or when you're leaving school, when you pick up that child in whatever phone call you have, mm-hmm. or what have you, and have a conversation with the child and ask those open-ended questions so the child can't respond with yes and no. Just
what
saying,
happened at school today?
Yeah, tell me. Just tell me what you learned in ELA. We learned da 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 da.
I blame a lot of employers.
Amen.
for overworking. Having these mandatory overtime, mm-hmm. having this, and you know, people got to live, they got to survive. So, and they know you're not going to really say no, because guess what? You need your job.
You need your job.
Then they don't care about your home life.
That's what I was about to say. My paper, while I was getting my master's, was all about work-life balance. Now some employers are doing awesome job. Like at the time when I was writing my paper, Google was the number one organization that just had it great with work-life balance. But it seems like now, like you said, some employers just want all of your time. You want to know why? Because it's easy access. It's like you're not allowed to have boundaries because they'll put it under other duties assigned, other tasks assigned.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you have to, but employees, we have rights.
So yep. After an 8-hour day, they can call you all night long.
Some of them think they can. But see, as employees now, we have rights. That's why I always tell people, please read your employee handbook. Because you should know that thing backwards and forwards. So when they start calling you after hours, no, wait a minute, hold on, let me see. And I know some people are like non-essential mm-hmm. workers, you know, but even that, you got to carve out time for your family.
Have
you have to do it. It's
you know, God forbid you're a single family. I'm
right,
a single
parent.
Because
and don't have a great village of people
right.
to assist you.
Because
right.
what if I get off at 5, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just making up. Scenario.
Right.
What if I get off at 5, you know, I have about seven, you know, I get to about 7 or 8 o'clock. I go to bed. You call and wake me up from 10:30 to 1:30 with a crisis, right? Mm-hmm. Am I supposed to go back to sleep and get up at 6 o'clock and get to work and perform? Like, you don't even know if I have an issue with insomnia. Oh, I'm up now. Because once I'm up, I'm up.
Right.
So even the stress of picking a child up from school, if I've had such a hectic day, I don't even want to talk to my kid. Well, not me per se, but some people, you know, you may be so out of sorts from the day. You're like, I don't even want to talk to the child at this point in time because I don't know where my energy level is. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's, I've actually talked to a young lady who said she literally came home the whole time she was in high school and let herself in the house, made dinner for herself, and stayed in her room. And she really only saw her parents on the weekend. And they lived in the house with her. What?
That is crazy.
What the hell?
No interaction.
And then on the weekends, they were so busy with tasks and doing things, it wasn't like they had anything interactive
to do.
So she doesn't know. She doesn't understand coming home, sitting down at the table. Let's talk about your day. She says she sees that in movies, but she doesn't even. She thinks that's TV. She don't think that's real. Because she's never experienced that. The social skills are limited. It's like, I don't know, it's not even, life ain't matching up to what's being seen. So I think that's why they're so focused on social media, because that might be even a little more normalcy than what's going on right there in the house. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like,
that's
shit crazy.
That's very bad.
Shit crazy. And so when they come in and I'm talking to them, and so there's a question within the questionnaire. Are you homicidal, suicidal, feeling any anxiety or depression today? They don't even know how to articulate anxiety and depressed, because they quick to say they depressed. But I'm asking them, OK, so tell me how you're depressed. Well, I miss my family. Well, that's not depression, baby. That's normal. You're in basic training. You're supposed to miss your family. Well, I'm having anxiety. Well, how are you anxious? Right. I don't know. I don't feel right.
What does that mean?
Yeah. And right. I don't like people yelling at me. I don't like having my sleep off. I don't like. So it's like, I need you to understand what anxiety is before you speak on I'm anxious. I need you to know what depression is. Mm-hmm. Depression is I can't eat, I can't sleep, I can't focus. And so when I start breaking it down, they like, oh, no, I don't feel like that. But you just told me you was depressed.
So they don't know what it is.
Right. But this shit is thrown out so much now. Because so all these kids swear they got anxiety and autism and ADHD, and you know, it's
because of what they feel.
I just tell them, you know, hey, you come in here, this is a safe place. Mm-hmm. You could tell me about anything, no judgment, judgment free
right,
zone.
Right.
You could tell me whatever you need to tell me. I ain't gonna feel no kind of way about you. And you should see how them shoulders just fold and they just like, I was waiting for somebody to just, you know,
say it's okay.
You know, it's two questions that that I recently started asking about your day. What went well and what did not go so well in your day?
That's a good question.
Just simple questions. Mm-hmm. What went well? Mm-hmm. And you can see the expression of what went well and then what didn't go so well is like, you know, this could, I said, well, what could have made it better?
What could you have done?
Yeah. Or could you have done something differently, or was it out of your control? So those, I mean, we really need to talk
in education, they have what is called a think sheet. And of course, it's always after something occurred and they have the child fill it out or you talk. I like to talk the child through it to say, okay, and the exact questions that you ask is on that think sheet. And it's almost like this is what I used to tell my parents when I was in another school district. Take this home. Ask these questions. Go down the line and just ask the question.
And it's sad because we need to ask ourselves the same question. Those exercises.
Well, it's like, Vaughn, when you was practicing mm-hmm. the mindfulness, and I know you still do, mm-hmm. those are the same questions. They give you a journal prompt. And that's why I'm saying everything, the acts, y'all, everything is so accessible to us right now until I think it's like we've devalued what resources we have. It's kind of like, well, we know it's there, we just don't want to utilize it, because you have the prompts, you have the questions that you can ask your children. We just got to make the time to do it. 10,
the 15. Problem is it makes you think.
Yeah, it makes
and
you
a
think.
Lot of people don't want to think.
They don't
want self-realization.
Yep.
They don't want to be confronted by their own identity.
And they don't want the accountability.
Yep.
They don't want the accountability.
So guess what? It's easier to push it off, mm-hmm. don't do it, and blame right. everybody else.
But right. how do you live on a day-to-day basis knowing that you're not making any progression in what you already have existing? It's almost like, I'm going to just go to work. I'm going to just pay these bills, and I'm going to just pretend like all these fires ain't going on around me. The fire's going to start closing in at some point.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So why are we just going to zone out like they're not burning?
Because you don't yep. want to.
You don't want to, like Vaughn said, you just don't want to.
Acknowledge
I get that you don't want wrong. To, but fires until, don't go out.
Until
the smoke is up your nose.
Yep. At some point, you're going to crash and burn. And then that's when all hell breaks loose.
Right.
And your back is against the wall. Right. Now you're, you know.
And this is what I'm saying. At 40, mid-40s, mm-hmm. why don't we know? I get kids. Mm-hmm. Why don't we know at mid-40s? Before this shit get out of hand.
It's laziness.
So I need to get ahead of this. Before the
waiting on somebody else to do it.
Conflict resolution. We lack that. Now, our generation, I'm just going to be honest with you. We lack that. We lack conflict resolution.
How do we
lack solution focus. Something
I was always.
So when did that come into play? When did conflict resolution and solution focus come into play?
I think it's always been here. I think it's how we handle how we respond to what happens to us. What was the techniques? What was the tools? What was the resources that was provided to us to handle our conflicts when we were younger?
Well, we were the generation that was easing into therapy.
Well, yeah.
Easing.
Yeah, we was easing on the back. Here we go.
Yeah.
On that back end. Now, this is the crew that's behind us. Now, they all in it to the point they think they're the therapist.
Yeah,
that's why we got so many.
That's why they misdiagnosing their ass.
Right, right. And everybody wants to self-diagnose and not get the proper treatment, you know.
Because you can't self-diagnose. It doesn't have to be clinical.
So what was our conflict resolution?
It was like saying whatever. And then we shut. Here it is. We shut down. I don't want to talk. And we want to listen to the songs. And
that's the therapy.
So that's the music was the therapist?
We just shut down. And we isolated from everyone.
So that's where
because
we get gaslighting and shit from?
Because guess what? In a way, y'all, I think we are the ones who think that we don't need community. We think that
we had good community.
We had good community, but then we didn't want everybody. I think that we
you
are
know,
the ones
I
that
think
said,
you might be right.
I'm
because think about it.
I've been thinking about this for a whole year now.
Go ahead.
I don't need nobody else.
And yes, we need God, but mm-hmm. God sends community. Now, sometimes we got to discern and, mm-hmm. and, you know, and know who to go to for what thing.
Right.
But y'all, we have isolated ourselves so much that we don't think we need community. And that includes your therapist, your co-worker,
neighbor.
Yeah, everybody. Mm-hmm. And I think now, because we're older and the sunglasses and the rose-colored glasses are off, I think now it's like, well, damn, I do need community. I do need
It's
some
because
help.
We look around and we see the people that we know and we see how they are. And it's like, I don't want to deal with my peers.
But it's different now. I walk up to people in the store or a baby because they don't know no better. Hi, little baby. Where's your mom? This little chick looking at me like, come over here, so-and-so. And right. she look at me up and down like
in
I'm
my
doing
business.
Something. Like
we just I said, said it. I'm it, telling
so
y'all.
So I'm sitting up here saying, your daughter's pretty, but she's looking at me weird like I'm some kind of child molester. And,
right.
I just normally go and, you know, I see a pretty little baby. Look at your little socks. Don't touch.
You can't
do that.
Yo, she's going to be all on TV. Tell
my mama do it.
Right.
Like, I'm a toucher.
Right.
If I see a baby and I'm like, look at a little fat leg.
Now I have to tell
you
people.
You can't.
Like, I'm a hugger. Because I'm a hugger at times. I'm a hugger, you know, if it feels right, I'm a hugger. You know, I like to talk. You know, it's like now you got to ask permission.
Right.
Like, you know,
But then when the little boy say, Miss Williams hugged me and
right.
it felt sexual.
But you want to, right. So you want to know something?
Yeah, it's just too much going on.
Where I work now, even though I'm in the field, we always have to be in the presence of someone. Like the vision has to be there. I have to be around someone talking, somebody's. So that kind of.
I mean, it's almost like you need to have a recorder and a video at all times.
But you know what? It's sad that we have to be that way.
Because I was just thinking in my vehicle, you know, insurance, car, and I don't want to mean to go off topic, but car insurance. It goes up because of a lot of uninsured drivers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I'm about to start putting a camera in the front of my car and in the back of my car because we need to catch these people from, you know, driving off and hitting us or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, if they drive off and nobody is around to see it, if you get too many of them.
Yeah.
It's just too much.
But, you know, I'm grateful for Ring and all these other things that's going on because something
can
happen.
You got to be in the presence of a conversation with another person. I mean, good Lord.
It's just too much now.
You gave googly
mindset.
Eyes.
Yes.
When you were trying to be.
That's why I just stay home.
No, but see, we shouldn't.
No, we shouldn't.
I don't like the way
Ms.
Williams looked at me.
But I just feel safer.
I understand.
I feel
what you're
safer
saying.
In my house. Like
well,
even
we shouldn't.
Even when
we
I had a even when I had a business, just dealing with all these personalities and these little behaviors, it's just like, God damn, y'all. Mm-hmm. I can't. It's exhausting. Mm-hmm. And people so I don't know, these niggas different.
But we need
Society is different.
And you know,
yeah, society is really different, really different.
I don't think we will ever get back to the place what we're speaking about.
No,
I don't
not.
Think we will ever get back to that place of community, of, you know, everybody looking out for each other. As time goes on, it's going to be a new thing. It's going to be something different. And we're going to be so far away from what we know as normalcy.
Right.
That we're going to lose. It's just like, you know, them not teaching stuff in the textbooks anymore.
Oh, they're
our,
not.
Our upbringing is becoming obsolete.
Mm-hmm. Right. But you know what? I saw something saying we need to normalize, not normalizing everything.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I said, that is not the truth.
Yeah.
Because everybody, and I understand, I think it's more of we need to acknowledge and understand, but does it have to be accepted? That's the thing.
Yeah. Well, that's a good way to end the show.
I mean, it's a good question. That's a very good question. Does it have to be accepted?
Acknowledge and understand. We see you. We empathize.
But we don't have to accept it.
Right. And we're not going to disrespect you.
And they're forcing us to accept it.
And that's the problem.
Child, and we had that conversation about the gays on the TV.
All right, y'all. So thank you for joining today's show. We appreciate it. You can always catch us on every podcast platform. You can also catch us on our website at theverynecessarypodcast.com. And send us an also very necessary letter to our email at theverynecessarypodcast@gmail.com.
All right. Each week, do something to improve your physical, financial, social, spiritual, emotional, and mental health. Why? Because self-care is very necessary.